Today's daf is Vav Basra daf Kuf Tez Zayin. We are holding on the bottom of daf Kuf Tez Vav Amibes, and we're right in the middle of a discussion between Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and the Tzeduki, because the Tzeduki wanted to say that when it comes to Yerusha, a Bas HaBen, if a person, let's say, has two children, he has a son and a daughter, but the son predeceases him, and that son himself leaves over a daughter, so the halacha is that that granddaughter gets the entire Yerusha, because she's in place of her father, who gets the entire Yerusha. But the Tzedukim wanted to say that that granddaughter would have to share the Yerusha with the daughter, with the daughter, because why should a granddaughter be in a better position than the daughter herself? After all, the granddaughter comes mikoach aviha, whereas the daughter herself comes mikoach the mace himself. So you would think that the daughter should have at least as much as a right. That was the time of the tzedukim, but it was incorrect. So we were in the middle of discussing how Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai rejected the taina of the tzedukim. So we're first going to finish that discussion, then we're going to mention a special time that they had to keep the Yerusha away from a Bas Ben in Shevet Binyamin. That Shevet Binyamin was limited after the story of Pilegish Begiva. They only had a very small number of people left. They only had 600 men left. So they had to make sure that there not be a Ha'avaras Nachla to another Shevet, because it's one thing if you have tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people in a Shevet, and one person takes a Chelik Yerusha and goes and marries into a different Shevet, so it's not the end of the world. But you only have 600 people inheriting the land of the entire Shevet, and anytime someone marries out of that Shevet, a girl is going to take a Yerusha and marry out of that Shevet, it's going to significantly limit the Yerusha of that Shevet. So they had to make a special takana about that. And then the Gemara is going to tell us some statements about the Chashivus of leaving over a son to inherit you or to fill your place in whatever position one has. And that Agadita is going to lead into three different statements of Pinchas ben Chama, the first of which is about the Chashivus of leaving a son to take your place, and then the other two about other topics. And then we're going to go back to two halachic questions relating to Kedima in Yerusha. First of all, does a grandfather or an uncle take precedence? Meaning if a person dies and he doesn't have any children, and he doesn't even have a father, but he has a grandfather and he has an uncle, he doesn't have any brothers either, he has a grandfather and he has an uncle, so which one would take precedence? And then, forget about a grandfather and an uncle, what if he has a grandfather and a brother? Does a brother come before a grandfather? Meaning a father comes before the brother, but do we assume that the grandfather also, you keep going up before you give to any, before the Yerusha goes to any brother? So that is going to be the halachic section of today's daf. But we left off on daf Kuf Tes Vav and Beis, and we had just said that the Tzedukim had argued that it's a Kal V'chomer, not the Tzedukim in general. There was this Machlokes, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, is there anyone he said, show to me, Nayin Zalechem, where do you guys come up with this idea that the Bas HaBen is going to have to share the Yerusha with the Bas? And they said, well, one Zakein got up and had the chutzpah to try to challenge Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, and that one Zakein said, this Kal V'chomer, he said that if a Bas HaBen, who comes Mikoach Bino, can yarshin him, then the Bas, who comes Mikocho, who comes from him, should for sure be able to yarshin him. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai tried to reject that taina based on a pasuk. The pasuk describes the Bnei Seir, including Tzivon and Anna, and yet another pasuk describes Bnei Tzivon, including Anna. So he said, "Oh, must be that how can Anna be Tzivon's brother and Sivon's son? It must be that Sivon was Baal Imo, and he was holding Anna." So the Gemara says, "No, that's not a raya. Maybe there were two different Annas." So he said, "No, we had concluded yesterday there aren't two different Annas. Who Anna?" The pasuk says, "Who Anna Dmei Ikara?" That it's the same Anna. So now we're holding on the second to last line, Kuf Tes Vav and Beis, last one in the line. Amrle Rebbe, Bekach ata potreni. He said, that's going to be your raya against me, that you have as Rashbam says, I mean, what have you proven from that pasuk? You've proven that a son's son will yarshin like a son. So what? That doesn't prove anything. I wasn't talking about a son's son. I was talking about a son's daughter. Hello, gamanimo dulchad ben aben yorish esiknu v'afil b'makom bas. Aval bas haben hu darmina shetir shabasima. I didn't argue that a grandson shouldn't yarshin in a place where there are daughters as well. I only argued that a granddaughter should not get the exclusive rights to the Yerusha when there happens to be a daughter as well. So the Tzduki said, you can't reject my argument based on that pasuk. So Amar Lo Shota, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, and notice that in the course of conversation with the Tzduki, he doesn't speak in terms of respect. This was not a respectful dialogue he was trying to have with the Tzduki, because there's always a danger when having dialogue with an apikores, that the dialogue itself, that the fact that you're honoring them to have the conversation, will give credence to their side, that they are a worthy opponent. So he specifically uses Lashonos to make it very clear that this is not a worthy opponent. We're just afraid that people might be taken by the logic of his argument, so we have to present the opposing side. But this is not an issue of, you know, machlokas Shammai and Hillel. This is not a machlokas from Meir Rabbi Yehuda. This is a matter of someone being right and someone being wrong, someone having a tradition from with a Masara, from Chachamim and from his forefathers, and someone not having a tradition. So he says, Shota, you fool, velote Torah Shlema Shalanu, our Torah Shlema, our complete Torah, is not like your Sicha Betela. It's not like your nonsense that you try to spew. Meaning, we have a real argument, and the truth is, the initial argument I gave you wasn't even the real argument. It wasn't even the real explanation of why it is that the granddaughter will receive the entire Yerusha when she comes Mikolach Aviha instead of the daughters themselves receiving the Yerusha. Mal Bas Beno. He said, and my proof is, take a look at how a granddaughter takes precedence over any of the other children, even when there are brothers. Tomar bebito shehura kocha b'makom achin. A daughter would not take precedence over her own brothers, yet a granddaughter would take precedence over the uncles. Meaning, if a man dies and he had a son, and that son left a daughter, the son had predeceased him, but that son had left a daughter, and the man who died also had brothers, the granddaughter gets everything. His brothers get nothing. The granddaughter would get everything. So you see that the granddaughter gets precedence over the brothers. So Tomar Bebito Shehura Kocha B'Makom Achin. If a man leaves sons and daughters, the daughter would get nothing in B'Makom the brothers. I said it wrong. Not that the man leaves a granddaughter and brothers. The man leaves a granddaughter from one of his sons and other sons. So the halacha is that granddaughter would get an even chelek with the other sons, because she's coming mikoach aviha, who would get a chelek. And what's the raya to that? The benos slavchad is the raya to that. That's beferish in the Torah, that the benos slavchad get their father's portion together with all of his brothers. So you see that a granddaughter is an equal with the sons themselves. So and when a man leaves a daughter with sons, the daughter is not an equal. She does not get a Yerusha with her brothers, with the sons of the deceased. So don't tell me that there's a kal v'chomer, that a daughter has to have at least as much koach as a granddaughter. We know that that's factually not true. The granddaughter has more koach than the daughter. V'natzchum. And in that way, he was able to finally defeat the taina of the tzdukim, va'osa yom asuhu yom tov. And that day they made into a yom tov because they defeated the tzdukim. The Rashbam over here writes that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai tried to reject the tzduki with something light because he didn't want to give him the real explanation. Meaning initially when he quoted this pasuk of Anna, that wasn't, he knew all along that that wasn't going to be a satisfactory response. But he did that because it's also legalis lem ta'amei Torah. You're not allowed to reveal to tzdukim the real reasons of the Torah. So the Birchas Avraham says, well, we don't find anywhere that there's an issue of lima Torah to anybody but to Akum, but to Ovdei Kochavim. Tzdukim are not goyim, they're Jewish people. So what exactly is the nature of this issue? Not to be megala ta'amei Torah to tzdukim. You know, Torah tzivalana Moshe marasha kilas Yaakov, al tikri marasha lema orasa. Yeah, it belongs to the Jewish people, and one is not supposed to be melamed Torah to non-Jews, but where do we ever find that you're not allowed to be melamed Torah to Jews whose hashkafos are messed up, to a tzduki? Furthermore, he says, if Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai held that it's aser, so then why did he do it in the end? Meaning, as soon as the tzduki didn't accept his first response, okay, fine, I'll tell you. So you're not allowed to just violate an iser because you're feeling a little bit of pressure. So he says, it could be that the makar of the iser is the din that you're not supposed to be melamed to a Talmud she'eino hagun. The Gemara says in Chulin Kuflam Gimel that someone who's shown to the Talmud Sheinu Hagun is Nofel B'Gehenim. It's Ki Iluzorek Evan the Markulis, that you're supposed to try to teach Talmidim who are going to be Yireim Ushleimim, and not to teach Talmidim who do not have proper Ashkafos. But in the end, because of the Chashash of Chilul Hashem, that people are going to see that, that people are going to believe that the Taina of the Tzdukim is a legitimate Taina, that's going to cause a tremendous Chilul Hashem. So he thought it was that would outweigh the concern of teaching a Talmud Sheinu, because it was no longer about teaching that Talmud. It was now about teaching everybody else, everybody who was going to be taken by the argument of that Talmud. Now the phrase, Lote Torah Shlema Shalanu, Kesicha Betela Shalachem, the Marsha writes that the Minim and the Tzdukim would say things that were said in the Torah are like Sicha Betela. There are things that should not have been written at all and that are unnecessary or silly in the Torah. And that's what the Tzdukim was telling Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Potreni, meaning the psukim that you're quoting, you're going to bring a raya that bnei banim are kebanim. According to our shita, those psukim are silly. Those psukim don't really teach anything. They're sicha betela. Those psukim. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai responded, shota lo tei torah shlema shalanu sicha betela shalchem. Our Torah is a Torah tamima. There's nothing levatala in our Torah. There's nothing that's a waste in our Torah. That's how the Marsha explains the language that he used. In the Iyun Yaakov, he says that the main time of the Tzdukim was on Torah Shebal Peh. The Tzdukim did believe in Torah Shebichsav. They only believed in Torah Shebichsav. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was saying. Torah Shalema. He wasn't saying Lotei Torah Shalanu. Lotei Torah Shalema Shalanu Kesicha B'Teila Shalachem. That our Torah is a Torah Shalema. Torah Shalema means that it has a second book to it. There's the Torah Shebal Peh as well. We cannot ignore the Torah Shebal Peh, and that's the diuk in the lashon of Torah Shlema. Says the Gemara further now, Vayomru Yerushas Pleita LeBinyamin V'lo Yimacha Shevet MiYisrael, that they had a serious problem in the aftermath of the story of Pilegesh Begiva. That in the story of Pilegesh Begiva, there was essentially a civil war with the other Shvatim against Shevet Binyamin, because this man was so upset that his Pilegesh was violated and was killed. He chopped her body up into 12 different pieces, and he sent to all the Shvatim and said, look what happens to, look at the way Shevet Binyamin is behaving. So they declared war on Shevet Binyamin, and there was not much left of Shevet Binyamin. There were 600 men left in Shevet Binyamin, and there were no women left in Shevet Binyamin for these men to marry. And they couldn't marry outside of the Shevet, because the Shvatim had sworn that they're not going to give Mibnosehem Lenashim. They're not going to give their own daughters over to Shevet Binyamin. They wanted nothing to do with Shevet Binyamin. So the other Shvatim got together to find some sort of solution for this. And they, you know, how are we going to solve this problem of these 600 men of Shevet Binyamin? If they're not able to continue the Shevet, then it's going to, a whole Shevet of Klal Yisrael is going to be lost. But they already had had they already had taken a shavua that they're not going to give their daughters over to Shevet Binyamin. In fact, one of the things we celebrate on Tu B'Av is when that shavua was undone, when they started allowing inter-Shevet marrying back with Shevet Binyamin. So what they came up with was they found the Bnos Yavesh Gilad, who were not there at the time of the Shavua, and 400 of them were able to marry men from Shevet Binyamin, but there were still 200 left that didn't have any Nashim. So the other Shvatim got together again to try to find a solution, and that's where the Pasuk picks up. Vayomru, Yerushas Pleit LeBinyamin V'lo Yimacha Shevet MiYisrael. We need to make sure that the Pashup Shad of the Pasuk is that we have to find women for the 200 men of Shevet Binyamin that are left over so that they could have children, and the Shevet should not be wiped out from Klal Yisrael. But the Gemara is going to darshan it to mean something else. So they darshan as follows. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak to Bei Rabbi Ami, Melamed Shehisnu al Shevet Binyamin Shalotirash Bas HaBen Ima Achin. That in fact the Bnei HaShvatim made a Tanai on Shevet Binyamin that if a person dies from their Shevet and he leaves sons, and one of those sons dies and he leaves a daughter, that daughter should not receive the Yerusha that would become coming to her father. And the reason for this takana is if there were only 600 men left in the entire Shevet, each of them had a very sizable portion of the Shevet's peace in Eretz Yisrael. So if a Bas HaBen would go take that Yerusha and marry someone from a different Shevet, the Nachla would go to the Shevet of her husband, and that's a major portion of a Shevet of the Nachla of Shevet Binyamin that would be lost. So they made a takana that only brothers that are from Shevet Binyamin will yarshin the nachla of their father, and this is part of Yeshkoch Biarcham Lakar Dav Min HaTorah, or part of Hefker based in Hefker, that they're able to get around the Dine Yerusha in this way. So that's what the pasuk means, that they made such a takana to give the Yerusha Sameis from Shevet Binyamin lePleitas Binyamin, that the Bnei Ameis that are from Shevet Binyamin and not to the Bas HaBen who's able to take it outside of Shevet Binyamin. So that's the reason for this for this takana. So says the Gemara further. Amar Rabbi Yochum Yishum Rabbi Shum Benichai Kol Sheinu Maniach Ben Liyarsho. So now we're going to talk about the value and the importance of leaving over a son to Yarshin somebody. So anyone who doesn't leave over a Ben Liyarsho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Malei Alav Evra, Hashem is full of anger at him. So how do I know? Ksiv Hachav Avartem Es Nachlaso. When it describes a person doesn't have a son and the Yerusha goes to the daughter, it says Vahavartem. Uksifasam yom evra hayomahu. So Mefarshim raised the question, why is a person punished that he doesn't have any banim? That's not really up to him. He doesn't get the choice of whether he has banim or not. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to give him or not to give him. So the Adramah says that we're talking about a person who is not osek b'piriyah b'rivya. A person who never tried to have children, who thought that his life would be complete without having children, and he doesn't even have to bother trying. But someone who tried to have children, was unable to have children, or who had children but didn't have any sons, that's not included in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Malei Alav Evra. If a person is Osek, V'Peruvu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Babitrunyim Briyosav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have unreasonable claims against people who do their very best. The Re'im writes that it's not that he's being punished because he doesn't have a Ben Achrav, it's just a simen that he dies without a Ben, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu must have been Malei Alav Evra. I think that's how Rav Elchanan writes as well. The Knesset Yecheskel, the Tshuvas Knesset Yecheskel explains that it's not an onesh on the fact that he didn't have a son. It's the Yadua Davar that saying Kaddish by a son of a mace is Mevatel, the Din Gehenim of the father. So if he doesn't leave anyone to say Kaddish for him, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be done him B'midas HaDin, because there's not going to be anything to lighten the Din if there is no Kaddish. That's why the minig is that no matter what, even if a person doesn't have anyone to say Kaddish, we find someone to say Kaddish for the person, because it's a zuchus of getting everybody to say Yehei Shmei Rabbah for the mace. That's why that's the minug of having an avel daven for an amud. It's not because there's any mile of him davening for an amud. It's that he gets to say extra kadeshin. It's that when an avel davens for an amud, he gets to say the kaddish. That's why a lot of times you find in shuls they'll start splitting up if there are multiple avelim. So this one will say brachos, and this one will say till Rabbi Shmuel, and this one will say psukei dezimra. L'chora, there's no value in saying brachos till Rabbi Shmuel for an avel. There's no extra kaddish. That kaddish is going to go anyway to all the avelim. I mean, our minhag is everybody's going to say the kaddish anyway. The only value is to be able to go from ishtabach until after Revolution, and so that you could split up for a chakras and then the Ashrei Revolution, because that's where you're actually getting an extra kaddish. The kaddishim at the end are really not for the avelim. That's for anyone who doesn't get to take the amud, as a yartzai, whatever, I don't know who has, or yisomim, who for whatever reason are unable to take the amud. But we have everyone say kaddish anyway. But that's the whole maila. The whole maila is being able to say kaddish. Says the Gemara further now. Asher ein chalifos lamav lo yiru elukim. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Chadamar kol sheinu meniach ben. Chadamar kol sheinu meniach talmid. Now, what does it mean? Asher ein chalifos, that he doesn't have anyone who can switch, who can fit in his place. So it's a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shua ben Levi, whether we're talking about someone who's not meniach ben or someone who's not meniach talmid. So the shita that holds that it's ein meniach talmid, Rabbi Nugarshim says, it's not talking about a person that's lo higia lo ra. It's not a chisaron in his yira shemayim if he doesn't leave a talmid after him. It's talking about someone who was higia lo ra and he decided to keep it to himself and not to be melame talmidin. He decided that his own chachma is good enough and he's not going to be melami talmidim. That's the terrible thing, that if a person is capable, so he should not only keep those capabilities to himself, but he should teach it to other people as well. So anyway, who said which? Who said that it's Einu Maniach Ben? Who said that it's Einu Maniach Talmud? So it's time, Rabbi Yochanan Damar Talmud. The Rabbi Yochanan is the one that said that it's about the Talmud. Damar Rabbi Yochanan, Dein Garmi Da Sira Abir. Rabbi Yochanan used to walk around and say, this is the bone of my 10th son, that he used to show to be Menachem Avelim that he's been through a lot in his life as well, and he managed to go on and still become Rabbi Yochanan and still be productive, even though he lost 10 sons. So if the halacha, if we were saying that it was a curse and that it's a sign of a lack of Yerushalayim if someone is not Meniach Ben, well then why would Rabbi Yochanan be showing that off? Rabbi Yochanan is going to be walking around saying, oh, look at my lack of Yerushalayim. A person is not supposed to show off their sins. They're not supposed to show off their shortcomings. So it must be that Rabbi Yochanan, Tistayim, Rabbi Yochanan, Dama Talmud. That Rabbi Yochanan said that it's one who doesn't leave a Talmud, it's not one who doesn't leave a Ben. Umid Rabbi Yochanan, Dama Talmud, Rabbi Shimon Levi Amar Ben. If Rabbi Yochanan said Talmud, then it must be Rabbi Shimon Levi says Ben. Says Gemara, but that doesn't fit either, because Vahar Rabbi Shimon Levi Lo Azil LeBeit Tamya El LeBeit Man DeShachav Lo Bani. Rabbi Shimon Levi in general would not go to a base Avel unless it was someone who died without Banim, and he would want to be Menachim them because they were the most sad if they died without Banim. D'Chsiv B'Chol B'Chol LaHolech V'Amar Rabbi Yudah Merav LaHolech Lo Ben Zachar. It's talking about someone who went without having a son. So it can't be that Rabbi Shimon Levi held that it's a lack of Yerushalayim, someone who doesn't have banim. Why would he dafka go to be Menachem Avel? Such people, someone who didn't have Yerushalayim. El Rabbi Shimon Levi udamer Talmud. So it must be Rabbi Shimon Levi is the one that said Talmud. Rabbi Shimon Levi udamer Talmud. Rabbi Yochanan or Ben. If Rabbi Shimon Levi is the one that emphasized that it's the Talmud, it must be Rabbi Yochanan is the one that said that it shows the lack of Yerushalayim for someone who doesn't have a ben. But kasha Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan. Then how do we explain Rabbi Yochanan walking around with the bone of his 10th son? Lokasha hadidei hadarabe, that he said in the name of his Rebbe that it's Ben, that anyone who's not Meniach Ben, but he himself didn't hold that way, whether it was before or after he had that experience that he didn't hold that way, but he himself didn't hold that way. He himself held that it's Einu Meniach Talmud, meaning that a person should not leave this world without influence, without having passed on a tradition to somebody. So whether it be Talmidim, whether it be a Ben, so a person should pass on his his traditions and what he has to offer in this world. The Aruch raises the question: how could it be that an Adam Kadosh like Rabbi Yochanan was nitma constantly when he would walk around with a bone of one of his sons? Meaning, the assumption is that a person is, even though it's only an iser for a kohen to become tamei, but it's not right for a person to constantly be in contact with tumas meis. The Meiri says, you know, in the tkufa of Rabbi Yochanan, they would eat chulin b'tara, they would eat chulin al taras hakodesh. So people were careful, even by eating chulin, they were careful al taras hakodesh not to become tamei. So why was Rabbi Yochanan not careful about this? So a number of the Rishonim suggest that this bone that Rabbi Yochanan would carry around was in fact a tooth. It wasn't a regular bone. That's what Rabbeinu Gershom and the Rashbam and the Aruch, the Adrama, they all suggest that it was a tooth. And we paskin that teeth and hair and fingernails of a mace are not metame once they are detached from the body. Rashi and the Meiri say that he took a bone that's pachos mikasaora, that's not metame b'magal maso ba'oel, because it's smaller than the size of a saora. The halacha is, halachas of tumas mace are somewhat complicated, but if you have an aver shalei min a mace, then even if it's very small, if you have just bone, so the bone is only if it's etzem kasaora, is going to be metame b'magal maso, not even ba'oel, if it's an etzem kasaora. But Rabbi Yochanan didn't help, he was maga, he was carrying it around, it was masa, he was carrying it around with him, but if it's pachas v'etzem kasaora, it's not even going to be a problem of mago masa. That's the discussion the contemporary posts can have about the dental implants that they make, or the fillings that they make out of human bone for people's teeth, whether a kohen is allowed to have it. Is it considered maga? It's maga based on starim. Is it considered masa? He's carrying it around with him. But if it's less than letzim kasora to begin with, so then maybe there's no problem. Anyway, it's reconstituted and it's not really it's not really bone. Most of the posts, I think, are makel on that issue. Okay, so says Gemara further now. Simin hadar ani v'chacham. So we're going to say three statements of Rabbi Pinchas ben Chama. The first of which relates to what we've been talking about. So says the Gemara. Dar Rabbi Pinchas ben Chama. May duchsev v'adar shama b'mitzrayim ki shachav David ima v'hadad shama b'mitzrayim ki shachav David ima v'osav v'chimeis yov saratzava. That Hadad heard in Mitzrayim that David and Yoav died. But notice, it describes their deaths differently. By David it's ki shachav David, and by Yoav it's that mace Yoav. Mipreima b'David ne'emrabo shchiva, ubi'yoav ne'emrabo misa. Why is it by David that it's described as shchiva, whereas by Yoav it's described as misa? So David sheniach ben namar bo shchiva, Yoav sheloniach ben namar bo misa. It all relates to leaving over a ben after him, relating to the discussion that we just had in the Pirush Hari'af on the Ein Yaakov. He's medayik from the fact that the Gemara it doubles its question, that it sounds like it's two questions, because the is ma'idchse v'hadad shama, and then it says mipray ma b'David namar. So it sounds like we're asking two different questions. So he's saying, aside from the question that by David it says shchiva and by Yoav it says misa, which is the second question and is the more explicit one in the Gemara. The Gemara is also asking Mai Dechsiv, meaning why did they call Yoav Sar Hatzava, and by David it didn't say David HaMelech, meaning there's a second discrepancy in the Pasuk, and that is the titles that are given, that Yoav's title is mentioned in the Pasuk, David's title is not mentioned in the Pasuk. It just says, Ki Yishachav David Imavosav. So the Gemara's answer that David was Meniach ben Kamoso and Yoav was not Meniach ben Kamoso is Miyashiv both kashas, that Hadad, who ran away to Mitzrayim from fear of David and Yoav, heard that David is no longer alive, but since he left the Ben Kamoso, the Malchus is still alive. So David HaMelech didn't die. David died, but the Malchus is still alive in the person of Shlomo. It was only David himself, the individual who died, as opposed to Meis Yoav Saratzava. Yeah, Meis Yoav, not just Yoav the individual, but Saratzava, because he didn't leave a Ben Kamoso to take over for him. So that's how the Riaf on the Ein Yaakov suggest that there are really two kashas over here, and both of them are being answered with this one line. How can you say Yoav didn't leave a son? It says we list the sons of Yoav being Ovadia ben Yechiel. El David sheinich ben Kamoso nemar boshchia. Yoav sheinich ben Kamoso nemar bomisa. No, it's not about having a son. It's about having an appropriate son, a son who's going to be able to take over the father's position. Second drasha of Pinchas ben Chama. Darsha of Pinchas ben Chama. Kasha anius b'toch peso shel adam yoser mechamishim makos. Having poverty in a person's house is worse than 50 makos. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "Chanuni, chanuni, atem rei ki yad eloka nagabi." V'karmi lechavri. This was Eov, and his chaverim say, "He shamer al tefen alavin ki al zeb bacharta meoni." And they said, "You know, at least you didn't have, you don't have poverty. At least you're a rich person. You're a wealthy person." As Tosos explains in the top Tosos, "Tov lucha b'makos halalu mimasha yisa ani." Better for you to suffer what you suffered than to be an ani. The Ashiraya, because Eov was an Ashir, the Lamatino shifts the Eov Ela Behemos, of the Karkos, the Kasav, the Zav, Lohivsin. Yeah, he lost all of his animals, but he didn't lose his real estate, he didn't lose his silver and his gold. Aye, but Eov says, I came out from my mother's womb completely naked, and I'm going to go back that way, meaning I have nothing left. He was just being misnachim on what he lost, saying that, you know, I know at the end of the days, one doesn't bring their wealth with them, but he still had wealth, and therefore the friends were saying that, Nius is much worse than anything you could imagine. So all of the makos that you're suffering are worse than are not worse than anius. The Achorim are medayik that it doesn't just say anius is worse. It says kasha anius besoch beso. Sounds like specifically it's bad when it's besoch beso rather than anius that's michutz lebeso. So the Marsha says, the Dafka says besoch beso, because even if a person has food somewhere else, if besoch beso is an ani, that's a makah gedola, because he still has to depend on other people, even if you know, he has assets that are not easily accessible to him. It's not going to help that those that are on the books. Darish Rapilchus Parchama, Rapilchus Parchama had a third drasha. That when a person has a chol b'soch beso, you should go to a chacham to daven for him. Shenemar chamas melech malachim maves v'ish chacham yichaprena. That a chacham is going to be able to find the kapara to daven for a person who is a chola. Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva in Yerodei Chelik Dalet Siman Nun Aleph, where you know, it's dripping with anivus, with Rav Moshe's unique anivus. Rav Moshe tries to justify why it is that when people come and ask him for brachos, that he gives them a bracha. Why it is that when people come to ask him to daven for them, he says that he'll daven for them, you know, for health or for parnasa, whatever it is that they're the hatzlach in Torah, in yani agufa nefesh, all the requests that people make, and he says, and I do it, and I give them a bracha, and I daven for them. Even though I know mach erchi v'katnusi b'toru ma'isim tovim, even though I know that I'm a nobody, and he says shevadai to me alze inchi hamakirim osi. He says I have no idea that people who know me are wondering what on earth is going on. Why are they going to this guy for brachos? He says I'm sure people who know me well wonder about that. V'gam yadua mikama gedolei Torah sheimar mulam vakshem yam levarich lespal sheim lo ruuyim. I know a lot of gedolei Torah have said that they're not worthy. Al yelchul vakish zeme acherim. Go ask from someone else. He says, but that's not my style. I haven't told anyone that they shouldn't ask me and that they should go to someone else. So I have to justify why I do that. So he says, a person has an obligation. If someone asks that you daven, you never know. It's true, the Gemara says to go to a chacham in particular, but the chiv min adin is on everyone to daven for somebody else. So he says, so I daven for other people. Why are they asking me? They're asking me because they think I'm a chacham. So what am I going to do? I'm going to tell them that I'm not a chacham, that lo igati l'chachma, that they should. Then they're just going to say I'm even bigger than they thought I was before because I'm an anav. So I'm going to help. They're going to call me an anav if I tell them that I'm not a chacham. So I can't turn them away. And plus I understand why they think I'm a chacham. I have a yeshiva, so they think I'm a chacham because I have a yeshiva. So I can't do anything about it. So you have to daven for them. But you see that the inyan of davening for a cholah is specifically an inyan by a chacham. That's what they say. The whole idea of the mishaberech for cholim in shul is so that if there's a single chacham in the shul, he'll answer amen, and that's going to be the tefillah for the cholah by answering amen to the mishaberech. There is a discussion in poskim. Rav Shlomo Kluger in Shuvas of Echarta B'chayim mentions that in a certain kihila they were matir when there was a cholah sheish basakana to write a telegram and send on Shabbos and bring it to a chacham in a different city so that the chacham could daven. Rav Shlomo Kluger says that is an outrage. That should never happen. He says it's true. You're allowed to be mechal Shabbos for a cholah sheish basakana. That's biderech hateva. That's to save them by natural means. But to save them biderech sgula, that you're not allowed to do. That you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos. He said, I don't deny that a chacham's tefillah is effective, but not effective to the point that we would call it derech hateva. It's still not derech hateva. That you're not allowed to do. Okay, zakal kolakod menachla yotze yerecho kodmin va'av kodmin l'chol yotze yerecho. So he said that anyone who comes in an earlier stage in the order of nachla, it's not only that person; it's all of his descendants that come before the next grouping of those who receive nachla. And a father comes before all yotze yerecho. So bayram berchama avia av va'achei ha'av. What if you have a grandfather and uncles? Kigon Avram v'Yishmael b'nichsei Esav. Esav dies, and he doesn't have, let's say, any sons or brothers, but he has an uncle Yishmael, and he has a grandfather Avraham. Eza mehem kodem. Which one gets the Yerusha? Avram or Yishmael? Amar Rav Tashma, Av kodem l'chol yotzei yerecho. Well, the father comes before any of his own descendants. So Avram is going to come before. V'Rami Bar Chama, why did Rami Bar Chama not realize this? Agav churfe lo yinba. He was such a charif that he was involved in some other shayla. Rashbam says that he didn't have an opportunity to really think this through clearly. So that's why he wasn't ma'ayin. Rabbeinu Gershom says agav churfe sheyem machzir talmudo. Not that he was such a charif and he was so sharp and he was just so involved in charifos that he didn't think through whether he had a clear logical progression over here, but that he was too busy with Chazara, they didn't pay proper attention to this question because he was chazaring all of his learning. Okay, boy, Rami Bar Chama, another shayla Rami Bar Chama raises. Avia Av, v'achiv, kigon Avram v'Yaakov b'nichsei Esav, ezeman kodem. It's not about Avram and Yishmael b'nichsei Esav, now it's Avram and Yaakov b'nichsei Esav, meaning the deceased leaves a grandfather and his own brothers. What's the halacha? So we know that the grandfather comes before the uncles. Does the grandfather come before the brothers as well? So Amarava Tashma. Ha'av kodem l'chol yotzei yerecho. We had said that the father comes before all yotzei yerecho. Rami Bar Chama yotzei yerecho shelo, v'lo yotzei yerecho shel beno. And Rami Bar Chama thought, no, it's not going to go to the grandfather, because yes, the father comes before any of his own children, but not any of his children's children. So if there are grandchildren that are brothers of the deceased, they're going to receive the Yerusha before the grandfather. Hachinami Mistavra, and it's most Mistavra to assume this way, the Katani, because the Mishnah says, Beferish, Zaklal. Anyone who comes earlier in Nachla, his descendants will come earlier. If Yitzchak were alive, meaning if Esav's father were alive, he would certainly come before Avraham. Now that Yitzchak is not around, Yaakov's going to come first because he's the Yotzei Yerecho. So Shema Mina, that's going to be the Raya that in fact it goes to the brothers before it goes to anybody else. The Rashba raises the question that according to Rava, that Avram comes before Yaakov in Yerushas Esav, Does Rav not hold of the din of Mishmash Nachla that Yitzchak really Yarshins Esav Bekever, and therefore it should be the Yarshim of Yitzchak who Yarshin him? How can you say that it goes up to the grandfather? The halacha is a man who dies, his sons get the Yerusha. Grandfather is only if he doesn't have any sons. So Yitzchak really was the Yarish. It's just Yitzchak is dead, so it should go to his sons. How can you argue that it goes to the grandfather? So the Sefer Chosin Yeshua says it clearly. Rava admits that there's this din of mishmush, and that the yoresh is yoresh bekever to be manchil to his own yorshim, and Rava is only cholek by avia meis that he's not yoresh bekever to be manchil yorsho. It's dafka by avia meis that he says that it doesn't work. Why? Because we learned yesterday that the din of mishmush is darshan from the pasuk of ein lo, that if it's yesh lo ayein alav, that we have to look at the meis to see if there are any Yorshim. Yerushas Av is not beferish in the Torah. It's derived from the pasuk Sheiroa Karove Lav. Remember, we had a little discussion of why Yerushas Av is not beferish in the Torah. So Gemara says Sheiro Zeha Av. So Yerushas Av is not included in the Ein Lo. Ein Lo Ayena Lav means look at any of the Yorshim that would exist in the Torah. But Yerushas Av is not in the Torah. So that's why Rava holds Dafka by Yerushas Av, a Yerusha that a father has from his son, we don't say the din of Mishmush Bekever, that it goes to all of his Yorshim. So that's why he says that it's going to go up to the grandfather rather than go to the brothers. But the Svara of Rav Barcham is that there is a din of Yerusha Sa'av, even Bekever, to go to his sons. But tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah about Penos Slavcha.